And so I started realizing a lot of us don't have a supply problem, we have a sight problem. It's not that God hasn't spoken, we just can't see. And realizing that one of the most frequent miracles that Jesus performed in the scripture was the healing of blind eyes, I went and studied different people that he healed of blindness, because I believe we all have spiritual blindness, blind spots, things that we say, well, if I could go back, I'd do it different, but I didn't know that 5 years ago. I didn't know that I was hurting my child. I was trying to discipline them, but now I see that I was too harsh. I was trying to provide for my family, but I ended up kind of abandoning them emotionally. And in an attempt to give them what I didn't have, which was money growing up, I didn't give them what I did have, which is love. And I'm looking back and I was blinded by that. And so the healing of the Savior and the new thing that God is doing often brings restoration of spiritual sight, what Paul called the eyes of your heart being enlightened. And in Mark chapter 8, there is a mention of a man. I don't believe we get his name in the scripture, but Jesus did something amazing for him. Now, I don't know when you're watching this, but if you're about to go to lunch, this might ruin your appetite. It's kind of gross. Mark chapter 8, please. They, the disciples and Jesus, came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged Jesus to touch him. Pay attention to every detail that you can. It will reward your attention if you'll pay attention to every detail in this little story. He took, verse 23, the blind man by the hand, led him outside the village. When he'd spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" I told you, this is not a very appetizing miracle. I need to read that again because you didn't even react to it, and it's so weird. When he had spit on the man's eyes, we just glossed over that. Like that's just something people do. Like he did a Hail Mary over him or something. He spit on the man's eyes and then put his hands on him, and Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "You did pretty good. I see people. They look like trees walking around." Now, I'm going to point out to you real quick, the fact that he knew what trees looked like means that he had been able to see it sometime in the past. So he's restoring his sight, some things God wants to bring you back to. You really do know what it means. And he said, "I see it, but it's blurry." Have you got any blurry blessings in your life right now? "I see it, but it's blurry. It's working, but it seems a little off. Can you, I don't want you to spit on me again, but can I get a second touch? Can I get a second touch?" The Bible says something very powerful. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and then his eyes were open. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't even go into the village." What a great story. If that were the passage we were preaching from, we would say, every miracle is messy. Every miracle is messy. Spit in your eyes is messy. We would also say that many miracles in your life happen over the period of time because there were two touches involved. But we're not viewing this miracle in isolation because Jesus is consistent, but he's also creative. And here's what I mean. Go to Mark chapter 10. Another blind man, this one whose name we do know. Give me my Mark 10, please. Then they came to Jericho. So this is a different town. Bethsaida, Mark 8. Jericho, Mark 10. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, same condition, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Next verse. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he could hear, but he couldn't see. He began to shout because he could shout, though he couldn't see. He's using everything that he has available. "Jesus," he calls the name, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I'm using restraint because everything in me wants to preach. Don't you let them shut you up. Don't you let them shut you down. Don't you let them call you crazy. They tried to do it to me for almost 20 years. And if I had listened to everything they said about me, I wouldn't be here preaching to your beautiful self. So don't you dare miss what God has for you down the road. Man, y'all are easy to preach to today. Come back next week. Somebody in here is making a difference. What verse were we on? Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they, the disciples, get ready, called the blind man. "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Now, I can't prove it in the text because the text says that the blind man threw his cloak. I can't prove it in the text because the text says that he shouted loud. I can't prove it in the text. But I think when he said, "I want to see," Peter and the other disciples backed up a little bit. Because the last time Jesus did what he's asking him to do, and maybe they even said to the guy, "Hey man, you might want to, you got to change your clothes, you know, just to prepare you. This can be kind of traumatic if you're not expecting it, just to let you know. But watch this. Jesus is a healer. He's consistent. He doesn't tell the man, "Nah, I don't feel like healing. Check back Thursday. Thursday is my healing day." Because he's consistent. But the same Savior who is consistent is also creative, which means he is not constrained, which means he doesn't have to do the same thing this time that he did last time, which means that he's going to heal the man. But this time, watch, it's a little different. Jesus just said, "Go." Verse 52, "Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. And Bartholomew and Andrew and John and James and Peter are like, "Wait, Jesus, you forgot to spit. You got to spit. Remember the chapter 8? When Jesus did, you got to spit on him. Like, he's not going to work if it doesn't spit. I mean, you spit on that guy and you still had to do it twice." If you're taking notes as a disciple, here's what you're writing down. Because you've never seen anything this amazing before, right? Jesus walking around healing blind eyes and stuff, so you're keeping notes. Okay, we're going to have to do this without him one day. So what does he do? Okay, so he spits. And then the first touch doesn't really work, so you got to do it twice. Okay? And then Jesus walks right up on this man named Bartimaeus. And the man's screaming. And they're like, "You're not supposed to scream." And Jesus is like, "I don't mind him screaming. Don't bother me." And the man throws his cloak, and Jesus is like, "Let him throw off anything he wants to." And Jesus looks straight at that man and heals him how he wants to, how he chooses to. He's healing you, but maybe not how you want him to. Maybe not how you're used to. Isaiah said, "Remember when the sea split? It's not going to split this time. Right. Instead," verse 19, "I'm doing a new thing. Right. Even now it springs up." The song you're singing from 700 years ago, the sea split. This time the water isn't going to split, it's going to spring, but it's still water. And I wonder, is this not the wisdom of God? Because he knows we'll get addicted to miracles and not be dependent on him. So he says, "You wanted me to do it like that? Nah, I'm not splitting the sea this time. This time it's coming from a different place." Now you assume that God isn't speaking. I wonder, are you just not seeing? And he's speaking. Because the same Savior that spit in the man's eyes didn't spit this time. This time he just spoke. Because he's creative. So he doesn't have to spit. He can speak. He can spit. He can spit while he speaks, like me. A lady told me one time, I sit on at least the fourth row because watching you preach is like being at SeaWorld. I got to get out of this flash zone. She said, "You spit when you speak." And see, God doesn't always have to spit when he speaks. He's consistent, but he's creative. Sometimes the fact that he is so creative causes you to forget how consistent he is. Because while you're waiting for him to spit, he's just speaking. One word, go. One word from God. This is what the Lord says, go. And I came into the first weekend of our 20th year of ministry to declare to you that not only is this the praise church, but this is the proclamation church. This is the proclamation church where the word of the Lord reaches beyond the barriers of a physical campus or location, beyond the demographic of a certain socioeconomic stratus or class, beyond the backgrounds that we've all experienced up to this point. God said, forget all of that. I am not defining your life by the former. This is the most beautiful thing he gave me in so long. Because after he said, forget the former thing, verse 20, he said, even the wild jackals and the owls know how to honor me because I provide water in the wilderness. The sea is not splitting this time. It doesn't need to. The same people aren't going to call you this time. They don't need to. It's not going to feel the same way this time. It doesn't have to. He said, I provide water in the wilderness. And so the animals honor me. I'm waiting for the verse to come back up so I can finish it out. And streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people. Watch this. My chosen. That's who you are. My people, my chosen. Verse 21. The people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise. Leave the verse and let's splash around in this water for a minute. He said, I want you to forget the former because you are the people I formed for myself. And since he is God and is not limited by time, he formed you for a future that only he knows. So everything you feel insecure about, let it go. It's not going to matter. Because he is your former. What do you mean former? The same Hebrew word that Isaiah uses for former is translated as potter and planner. So what's he saying? Let go of your plan so I can show you my purpose. Let go of every plan that you made without God. Let go of every plan that you made by consulting your past. Let go of every plan that was limited to the people you have around you right now. There's new rivers, new streams, new blessings, new wells, new beginnings. And what has stayed the same for 20 years now in this church is the name of Jesus, the great I am in flesh, incarnate, in action, the name of Jesus. The numbers have changed. The numbers have changed greatly. I used to preach to a room full of 19 people. My passion wasn't lower. I didn't talk softer. I screamed louder because I was desperate and youthful. Nothing changed about that when the numbers changed. But it's an amazing thing how sometimes God is speaking to you, but you don't recognize him because it doesn't come from where you expect it.
Hey, thanks for stopping by my YouTube channel. I hope you were blessed today. If you were, share this with somebody. Like and subscribe and leave me a comment. Let me know where you're watching from, what we can pray for you about. Hope to see you back here again really soon.